that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Thank you for joining us. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, May 22nd, into full bore into summer. And we thank you for joining us, and we've got a full crew in this morning. Good morning, Brother Tim, out in wet Nebraska.
Good morning. Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Jonathan.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant, and again, we thank you for joining us, and we say good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here, because we do gather in the name above all names, in the name that there is salvation in. No, it's not some Greek name. It's not some name you can't pronounce. It's not even some name you can't write, like some people look at it. But the name is Jesus. And we gather in that name. And he says that if two or more of us gather in his name, he'll be there with us. And so we welcome you, Lord Jesus, to our time this morning.
Amen.
We'll have the phone lines open up, but we always try to open in prayer. I want to encourage you to do that. Open your day in prayer. Open your travel in prayer. Open your meetings in prayer. We used to do that all across this country, and some of us still do. So, Jason, we'll look to you for that, sir, if you'd open us up.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and ask for your blessing upon this. This morning, we ask that you just guide us and direct us in the direction that we go, and we ask that you tend to the need of the remnant across this land, Father, and we just pray, Father, that you just shelter them, that you protect them, that you lift them up, and that you tend to their needs. And we just pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, we were talking right before the broadcast about a couple things, and one of the things, the weather. Not a whole lot you can do about it. You can pray about the weather. You can enjoy the weather, whether it's what we call good or bad. But the weather is what it is, and we have the scriptures where God speaks in the whirlwind, but he's not in the whirlwind, but he might speak in it, and he speaks through the storms. And being that we have just moved into, you know, it's a shift, a change. We've moved into summer, and it's been kind of fast and furious. With summer just starting, Brother Tim, you were saying you saw where there was snow up in the mountains, and John, you did as well, and we had snow here just 20 miles away up the mountains as well yesterday when we're just starting summer. But we're supposed to be in the 80s within a week. And it just seems like that, again, it's not really a gradual change here, but that it's hitting all at once within just a week, going from 30s and 40s to 80s, and that can wreak havoc on the snowpack, because there's still a big snowpack up in the mountains, and out here in the west, that's where a lot of the irrigation water comes from, a lot of the river water. And John, you were mentioning something about I guess maybe you'd seen something down there about the snowpack coming and it maybe hitting that 100-year flood. I'm not sure what that, if you have something on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the perfect storm, you have really warm weather up in the mountains, or you have rain. The rain actually melts the snow faster, I think, than even the heat. And then you add the precipitation of the rain to that, and you have a recipe for disaster, basically. Rivers are overflowing into lakes that are pretty much already to capacity, and so there's some warning about that too, to make sure that any mitigation that you have, as far as sump pumps and things like that, that everything is functional, and it's actually something I need to check today. But yeah, I mean, the perfect storm would create flooding conditions, you know, all throughout the West for sure, because we get all of our irrigation water and all of our river water and all that flows from the snowmelt in the mountains.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, talking to some of the old-timers here in Laramie, they say they haven't seen this kind of water in 40 years. And so we're not, the river's looking to flood here this next week. It'll be at peak is the forecast, but even the rain and the snow that we've just had on the fields, it's greener than I've ever seen it in 18 years. And talking to some of the guys that have been here longer than that, and of course that's what we've been talking about in the Midwest, in Iowa, and in Nebraska, and in parts of Missouri and Arkansas. Parts of Arkansas were at flood stage and flooding out. Fort Smith was one that comes to mind when we were down in Branson just a few weeks ago. And then, of course, the spring floods that went through there and the devastation that brought. And so it's not just in Wyoming. It's not just Colorado. It's just a little later for us out here. You know, for these floods and potential floods, we've been under a flood warning for about the past week as well. Just depending on what the weather does with the snowpack, and we've seen it there in the Midwest, and it's, to me, it brings to mind a change, that things are changing. We've talked about that, that. As we talk to farmers, and Jason's got a lot more information on this than I do, but as we've talked to a couple of the farmers and people that live there in the Midwest, and you know, on the eastern Nebraska and Iowa and places like that, that a lot of the crops aren't getting planted, a lot of the fields aren't ready, can't be planted, and a lot of the, you know, of course, a lot of the corn and the soybeans and the food that was stored up from last year is ruined, and it's a shift. That's different than how things have been in the past.
Well, I mean, there's places, a lot of places in the Midwest now that they don't even know if they're going to be able to get a crop in at all this year, because standing water, you can't plant in standing water, and then You sent out that article basically that the corn is only, you know, several inches tall instead of several feet tall. It's usually knee high by 4th of July. Well, we're getting close to 4th of July, and, you know, it's not even 6 inches tall in some places. So, we're pretty much being set up for a famine due to our own sin, no doubt.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, it's definitely retarded.
Like in Michigan right there, they got, I talked to Zach, and he said that they had 63% of their corn in and 40% of the soybeans in, and that's what the whole state has in. So a lot of people quit, even if it dries out. The thing is without the USDA grants and without their subsidies, they're not going to, they're not even going to plant. There's nothing wrong. Like Paul said, I was talking with Paul quite a bit when we were out there in Branson, and he said that, you can, even if you get your corn or your soybeans in late, they'll still produce something if you get it in the ground. But the problem is that cutoff date was the 15th with the USDA, so if you didn't have your seeds in the ground by the 15th and didn't have your reports in on what you had planted, you weren't going to get, number one, you don't get your crop insurance. Number two, you don't get a subsidy check if you have a subsidy check coming. And that's a huge part of what these farmers run on. That's where they've that's kind of their bread and butter for a lot of them.
Wow.
They're not even going to try to attempt, even if it's possible after this, even if it dries out and they can get in the fields and they can get their stuff planted. They're not even going to attempt to because of the cutoff date. So
yep. Yeah, basically, without that subsidy, they can't plant and even break even. I mean, they're underwater without that. So, what's the point, right?
Yeah, literally. I know.
Yeah, I heard they were looking at changing some of those laws, but I don't know. Or modifying them for this, unique situation. So, hopefully, Lord willing,
right,
that'll happen. But then again, maybe this is how God molds his people into repentance and crying out to him instead of the federal government for subsidy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there's got to come a point where, if you think about it, food is one of the most valuable commodities on the face of the earth. Supposedly we've been told since we were children that there are people in faraway lands who are starving. And, I'm not disagreeing with that, but I am saying if that's the case, then why doesn't it pay to feed them? I mean, or why, isn't there must be a shortage? And we know from our, American economics classes that supply and demand. I mean, if supply is low or demand's high and supply is low, then the price is higher. And we've got guys out here who love the land and want to farm and want to raise food and feed people, which is, if you think about it, a very godly endeavor. I mean, Adam was created to dress and till and care for the garden. And these guys can't even feed their... I mean, most of the guys I know who farm, they work another job or their wife works a full-time job just so they can farm. I mean, that's dedication, to... that goes on all the time, and maybe this is a way of God correcting that situation in a way that and he'll get the honor and the glory for it too, but get him out of that.
Amen.
Yeah, it's concerning when you see states like Alaska. I was reading an article last night about the Satanic Temple member Iris Fontana caused several government officials and attendees to walk out of the meeting south of Anchorage this week by ending her prayer with "Hail Satan." So basically, she calls herself a pastor, female pastor, comes up and does the invocation before the assembly. And to their credit, thank God, a number of them, I think about half of them, just got up and walked out. And But what's sad is you watch the video and you see that there's maybe another
eight or ten that are still there behind their huge desk. And some are standing with their heads bowed and their, you know, hands folded and listening to an invocation by a Satanist. And I don't think they realize the repercussions of that, because basically what you're doing is you're in agreement with the prayer that's being prayed when you you know, when you participate. I mean,
absolutely.
I would have had my hands up and been cursing them, calling for Jesus Christ to reign in that assembly.
Amen. Amen. And that, unfortunately, you see that. We've seen it in the, you know, as an outreach, I think, of this Freedom From Religion organization that pushes and promotes this. And they try to twist it into the people's minds that, oh, well, this is a religion. This is protected. And, you know, there may be some man-made law that some lawyer has twisted to put that understanding in people's minds. But wrong is still wrong. And
well, it was actually their Supreme Court that ruled that any religion could open in those assemblies. It used to be that it had to be a, you know, a Orthodox approved religion that had to be able to open the invocation, but their own Supreme Court. But when you see this kind of stuff happen in Alaska, I mean, that's concerning to me. And then you see, this was interesting, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Oregon State was voting on, they're trying to push the same Obama agenda for carbon tax credits and things, and I thought it was interesting that the governor, Kate Brown, Democrat, authorized the state police to track down the Republican lawmakers who refused to come and vote on this carbon credit legislation. And one of the senators basically said, well, make sure you send non-married police officers and armed to the hilt, because I'm not going without a fight. He said, I'm not going to be held political prisoner.
See, that's a change.
And,
you know, don't you see that? That's we didn't see that 5 years ago. You weren't hearing about those things.
No.
I said, praise God.
And that's some nullification for you. I mean, it's the same. It's the same spirit or the same thing as what we see with those people walked out in Alaska. You know, praise the Lord, those guys are standing up and saying, no.
Right. And it's not going to be everybody. It's not going to be everybody. You've got people that are so comfortable in their sin. You've got people don't even know the sin. Remember when you know, the Bible, I think I'm getting a little smarter. When the Bible says you didn't know sin because before you were given the law, you didn't know sin. That's our people today. They don't know that abortion is sin. They don't know that, you know, well, if they want to pray to Satan, we just have to agree with that, and that's their right. You know, that's what our forefathers fought for. That is what our people believe today. And I say our people are in this country. They believe that. They don't have a, they you know, they have been taught that fornication is fine and no problem. It's just a way of life. It's just what you do. It's like they don't even know, and it's because they don't have the law. Because these panty-waist Judeo-Christian sloppy agape pastors have told them that it's done away with, and therefore sin is done away with. And so it's just a free-for-all, and it's lawlessness. But it's not everybody. But it's not everybody. There's those few that say, just like you said, John, I saw that and had a chuckle myself. Yeah, you're going to do this, Governor? Well, yeah, lock and load kind of a thing. And, you know, it's good to see those flashes of light that pop up like that here and there. You know, speaking of Oregon, the Supreme Court just changed the ruling on Sweet Cakes by Melissa, which was the Christian husband and wife baker out there that wouldn't do wouldn't make a cake for a couple of homosexual females, a couple of dykes wanting to get married, wouldn't make a cake for them to celebrate their union, so to speak. And so they got sued, and the local, the state of Oregon came against them and fined them like $185,000, $155,000, something like that. And, of course, put them out of business. Can't do anything about it. Well, it went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court overruled that ruling and went back, put it back to the state and said, you hear this again, and because your ruling was wrong. And so that there's another change, something different. We've talked about our Christian brother Jack Phillips down at Masterpiece Bakers down in Denver that had the same thing. State of Colorado came against him. It went to the state Supreme Court. On the day that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor, that the state of Colorado had been hostile towards him and towards his religion in all their dealings, you know, another lawyer calls him and sets him up to knowing that he's not going to make a cake for this coming out party. And that was what this latest lawsuit is the state once again, even though the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor, the state once again came against him, and they just dropped it here a couple weeks ago. Well, this person that they were coming on their behalf has picked it up again, and that's the third lawsuit against this man for standing up for his Christian beliefs, for saying no. Everybody practice that. Like you've said, John, put the tongue on the top of your mouth and just say no. And it really is as simple as that. No. No.
Yeah, and if you
I'm
read
not going
to
do that.
What the cake was, the cake that they wanted Jack Phillips to make, they're even more bold and brazen in their immorality and their disgusting.
It is. It's filth.
Requests. I mean, can't even talk about it on the radio. I mean, I can't.
No.
The possibility that someone young.
Oh, it is filth. They want.
I mean, what?
But
that's basically Satan depicting a sex act. That is what they wanted him to put on the cake. So.
Right. I thought what was interesting too. I saw a follow up to that and to the one about sweet cakes by Melissa yesterday, and it shows a reporter undercover walking into a Muslim bakery and wanting a similar cake. And oh no, we don't do that. We can't do that. And nobody says boo about it, okay? And so, you know, praise God, it proves the word true. When he says, you will be, the world hated me, says Jesus. And if you follow me, the world will hate you too. And see, people are seeing this. I got to wonder about that lawmaker, elected official out in Oregon, you know, if this was not a wake-up call to him. You mean the governor is sending troops and police to come round me up? Bring them on. You know, do you think back in, what was it, 1775, around April, when the British Army was marching for what? The shot heard round the world, we know about that, right? Lexington Green, a few people still remember that. What that was about? They were coming to confiscate the guns. They were coming to get the powder and the cannon that the colonials had. Lay down ye damn arms. Lay down your arms. Put your guns down and let us do what we want to do. And the 3% of the colonials said no. And we have a nation because of that.
Right. If you notice the 11 senators there in Oregon who just said no to the stupidity, they're white Anglo-Saxon, probably Christians that have the laws of God written on their heart, and,
right.
And they can't do it. And there's
Amen.
People that walked out of that Alaskan assembly, you know. But the problem is, we've fallen asleep as watchmen over the House of Israel, and we've allowed the enemy positions of authority. Even specifically, what they've done is infiltrate the city councils and things like that. Because as Christians, I mean, we're not interested in ruling over people. We're not interested in
right.
Typically, we're not interested in positions of authority in man's government. But that's been a mistake, in my opinion, in a lot of ways. And like Jason's been saying for quite some time, we need to take the time.
even if we just go to these city assemblies and we just pray against evil and pray for, you know, the angels to be there, pray for the guardian angels and the warring angels to battle Leviathan and to keep these things in check.
Amen.
And I guarantee you that we would gain the victory, but we have to start doing it in our small towns. The fact that we've lost complete, you know, towns and cities in Michigan and in Minnesota and stuff to Somali refugees, you know, with the plans of the enemy, is, you know, it's just unexcusable, really. It's diabolical, the things that they have planned against God's people, and that's what it's all about. It's good versus evil, period. We can see that. Choose ye this day who you shall serve, whether it be Baal or God. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
It almost sounds like they got a conspiracy to take over the world or something.
Yeah.
Good point.
Amen.
You know, I mean, you that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's made
absolutely
for a lot of people, but you know, I mean, it's, you got to look at it that way, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that's going on. And it's prophesied, it's going to be a remnant of a remnant. It is, you know, I mean, it's not going to be the masses, and you know, they're going to be warring against us, and you know, there's going to be very few that see it or that even have their eyes open to be able to see it, you know, they're even entertain the idea of you know, of us having enemies. I mean, you know, that's the one thing that Dad always did a good job at, you know, trying to get people to see, is he's like, hey, you got enemies, they're out there, you know, the gooks are in the wire, the enemy's at the gates, you know, wake up, people. And I think that's one of the things that you know, that he strived long and hard, is pretty much his whole life, to be able to do, is to warn people, you know, to heed that warning of what's happening in America, kind of like Jack Moore. You know, you read Colonel Jack Moore's
ahead of time,
was always, he was always warning against the enemy, you know, it was divine intervention that he ever made it back onto this continent, you know, when he was over in Korea during the Korean War, and you know, that was an answer to prayer there, and he got back, and he, you know, when he came back to the United States, you know, he told God, he made a promise to God when he was over there, when he was in a prison camp, he said, you know, God, if you get me out of here, he's like, I'll dedicate my life to warning your people of what communism does and what it does to a nation and how it's coming to America.
Well,
and he did
that,
you know, and he fought that fight to the very end.
Didn't he face that firing squad too, didn't he?
Yes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yep. God, well, you know, it's
God made a way for him.
They're after, the true JRUSALEM, America, the heavenly kingdom is what America means, and they know it. You know, this is the promised land. This is the land that God promised for his people who are called by his name. And they can't stand good because, you know, they're the ones that roam like roaring lions seeking someone to devour, to come only to steal, kill, and destroy. And they cannot stand the fact that there's a country still that's standing, you know, ever, even though it's been damaged and harmed, but it's still... you know, we still have the covenant, Abrahamic covenant with God's people, and they know that we're the only ones that can enact the power of God against them by our obedience to him, you know, and appeal to heaven. That's why it's so significant, this appeal to heaven thing, is if his people who are called by his name, it ties into 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Amen.
It ties into, I'm ready to punish their, you know, I think it's 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6. That he's ready to punish their disobedience when our obedience is complete. Well, what does that look like? That's when we, you know, when we love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And, you know, very few of us are there, if any of us, but the good news is that each and every day, and each and every month, and each and every, you know, week and month and year, we grow a little closer to being, to that, coming to that place where we get to that obedience that God wants, because you know, his desire is to give us those greatest gifts. And, you know, the greatest gift is the gift that you need at the time that you need it. And, but he can't, as long as we're holding on to our own selfish wills, wants, and desires, not our needs, but our wills, wants, and desires. And, you know, that the good news is that each year, I think we come a little closer to that obedience that, that God requires from us to keep his promises that he's made with the past generations and with the prophets and even our pastor, you know, all the work that he's done. I'm sure that there was conversation in one way or another through the Holy Spirit regarding the promises that he's made even to our pastor. And but, you know, we can think one of the things that just recently occurred to me was the fact that our pastor may have been called home, but his prayers are still alive and well. And
amen.
We need to be in agreement with those things that have been prayed in the past, not just our pastor, but the apostles and the prophets of old. We just need to be in agreement with the things that they prayed and seek out, you know, what exactly it was that was prayed and what God's promises were for his people, and then be in agreement with all of that. And I'm going to talk about that, Lord willing, a little bit more tomorrow.
Amen. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning. This Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers program. The phone number, if you want to call in, is 307-745-5913. And, you know, Remnant, we've mentioned to you about, like John, like you had said, John, that that Jason has been talking about and promoting, it takes so little. You know, go to your city council meeting. Go to your county commission meetings. Take time to go to them to pray, if nothing else. And an opportunity may arise. Somebody may have a question. You may be able to. You know, if you do, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Bible tells us about that. But go and see. And one thing I've noticed, and we've kind of pushed and promoted as well, is watch your libraries for these drag queen story hours. And let me tell you.
And your churches now.
And your churches now. Some of them, those Episcopalians, yeah. I saw a note on our local library next week. I think it's next Thursday that they're supposed to have a drag story hour. And
oh my goodness.
And I'm going to go.
In Laramie, Wyoming.
And I'm going to go and take the sword. And certainly pray about it. I'm not going to boast right now. I'm not going to tell you this and that, because I don't know. But I'm sure going to pray about it, and I'm going to do what we're supposed to do, and that's to stand against evil. And that's what we're supposed to do.
Another place we need to add to the list of anointing is the libraries. So many of our children are sucked into those libraries, under the guise of learning, but most of the truth of the past history of this country has been removed.
Oh, absolutely, it has.
Indoctrination. Anymore, just like the school system. So I think
our library
warriors need to start anointing these libraries as well.
That's right. I've noticed in ours they have a young adult section. You know, they've got the children's section, and then they've got the young adults before the adults. In the young adult section, most of the books, it's all vampires, spirits, Harry Potter, and the like. Almost all of it is. You look through it, and it's one, two, probably six rows of shelves of books, probably 30 feet long, and almost every one of them is that way. You look through and try to find something that might be appropriate for your your 11, 12, 13, 14 year old to read, and it's all witchcraft, demonic, vampire. All of this stuff, and again, you know, that's what they push and promote, and of course they've got sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of tied into that as well, as we used to hear back from the children of the 60s and the 70s. But it is, and I think it's a great idea, John, to do that, to anoint the libraries and to claim them for the service of Jesus Christ, and to let that anointing be a cleansing and a recommittal. Might not be able to
even have Bibles. seen them anymore?
Yeah. Oh, probably not. I haven't seen any. I've been through our library a few times, and I haven't seen it. But they got shelves and shelves of filth, that's for sure.
Well, you know, when the drag queen hour is coming to Laramie, Wyoming, then they're pulling out all the stops. You know, there's not one corner of this JER USA LEM that they're not trying to attack and to conquer for their God, the God of this world.
Amen.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Jason.
No, go ahead, Tim.
Well, I just was going to kind of bring up the fact, I don't know if you guys heard about this Libra money that Facebook's supposed to be coming out with. It's a cryptocurrency, but I thought it kind of interested me because there's been a lot of noise on a lot of the investment stuff, and they've talked about, we're talking about taking God out of things, and they were talking about how much easier it'd be to use, you know, because you wouldn't have to have a bank account. And it's like, well, if you have money in your pocket, you don't have a bank account. I hear they do it from time to time, but I've never been anywhere where if I want to pay for my gas with a $20 bill, they say, no, you got to have a bank account, you know, or whatever. I was like, I wonder what the, you know, I was just thinking about it, and it occurred to me finally that we've talked about it today. We've got Satanists praying at town meetings. We've got LGBTQ people going into bakers and trying to make them violate their religious practices. Every coin in my pocket and every green piece of paper money, whether it's real or not, says, in God we trust.
Amen.
Every single one of them. And, you know, they've been trying for years to get that off of there. I mean, and they just can't get it done. They're going to have a new currency. I mean, how many times have we heard about these currency rollouts and one thing or another? But in God we trust shows up on every bill. And it must
capital
just...
God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just interesting to me when I look at that and see that and see what they're... Yeah, they don't want God's. I mean, every person on the planet has to put money in their wallet or in their pocket that says, in God we trust. Yeah, so there's all this noise out there. But at any rate, I was looking up, I went to Libra to see what, I was just like, why? I wonder why they called it Libra. So I looked around it, and it's interesting because it represents the zenith of the year, the high point of the seasons, and this one was what I thought, when the harvest of all the hard work of the spring is reaped. And we're talking about their last play, and we talk about the terror's heads coming up, you know, and how they'll be burned and or bundled and burned and taken out of the good crop. And they think that that's another way they're going to get their harvest of all that. And it's kind of an interesting thing when I look at it. And they can't get it done. God rules. God's on the throne. And he says, no, it started that way, and it's going to continue. So, I think it's an interesting sidebar.
Yeah, they think they got this war won, but God sits in the heavens and laughs.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you say, Jason?
Oh, I was going to say that one of the other things that happened here recently in Colorado is they had this, our governor, he signed this bill banning this conversion therapy. And I wasn't really sure what the conversion therapy was, but basically it's a therapy where, you know, let's say that you got, I guess it's done primarily between children ages of 13 and 17, but, you know, you get a child that's 13 to 17 years old that thinks that they're a homosexual, and the parents don't want them to be a queer, So they have this, what they call conversion therapy. So they go through and they talk to him about it, and it's basically they send him to therapy. Well, he just banned therapy for parents being able to get to get help for their kids if they think that they're queer. So that was, you know, that's just another, you know, one of those things. And I guess 18 states so far have banned this, what they're calling conversion therapy. And when I look up the definition of conversion therapy, I mean, really, it looks like it's basically sending them, anybody to counseling. If a child comes out and says, I think I want to be gay, or I think I want to be a lesbian, and, you know, the parents decide, well, let's get them counseling, they've completely banned the counseling part of it to try to get them to rethink their decision. So, you know, Talk about another just, you know, strike against the rights of the parents, you know, in this country, and, you know, taking that that burden of raising your children and putting it upon the states, and, you know, making decisions that shouldn't be made by the state. You know, that's a pretty good example.
Yeah, California was the first one to pass.
Amen.
But, of course, it is spreading like a wildfire.
It is.
Yeah, anyways, I don't know if you saw that Iran blew a drone out of the air, and apparently we were going to retaliate pretty significantly, but the story is that, at least the mainstream media story is that 150 people would have been killed had we attacked these sites, but the truth behind the matter, and I believe this is the truth, was that the locations were leaked ahead of time. They're saying it wasn't in our government, but it was through one of our ally governments that we coerce with or whatever, and that basically what we had noticed on the satellites were that these anti-aircraft munitions were being moved to those sites to defend the sites. But I think probably what it was provocation for war. You know, had we bombed them and they had taken down, you know, quite a few of our planes or whatever and killed a lot of military, you know, we would be in World War III. And because Russia gets a lot of their oil, I think, and China gets most of their oil from Iran, what they're basically trying to do is set us up for World War III. So I think we need to remember that this is God's intervention, His grace, His mercy, His compassion for His people, for His country, you know, JRUSALEM. And don't forget to thank God for Him thwarting the plans of the evil ones to try to draw us into World War III, because there's no doubt in my mind that's exactly what was planned right there regarding that shooting down of the U.S. drone and then the setup for taking out our retaliation strike, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And it comes just on the heels of that, attempted, or whatever it was, that oil tender torpedoing or bombing. You know, originally it was torpedoed just last week in the Strait of Hormuz. And it was, you know, it was the Iranians, and they torpedoed. It's a Japanese oil tanker. And but then they show holes, you know, that story didn't catch on fast enough. So then they show, a hole above the waterline where, you know, now it was a limpet mine that Iran uses. Oh, they've showed them to us before. And they have a U.S. military guy saying, oh, we found remnants of this limpet mine that the Iranians use. And then that the Iranians had surrounded it after the crew was gone and had removed another mine, and it just, you know, and then you don't hear anything else about it. It's like they're fishing, they're trying that bait, and that bait doesn't catch anything, so now the next week they've got to try something else. And it is, it's wars and rumors of wars. It's the warmongering in D.C. It's not the president pushing for war. I think, like you said, John, he's showing great restraint and not just taking the bait and jumping at this war, but there are the others that are doing that very thing, that want war. You see some of the commentary, some of the headlines, we should just go in and retaliate Iran and nail them and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, do we remember the Lusitania? It's been going on for hundreds of years. This manipulation, the wag the dog, putting something in place to play on both sides of the line, you might say, you know, from 9/11 to the Gulf of Tonkin back in the Vietnam War, you know, it's what our enemy does. It's what the enemy that are in that seat of Moses in places of authority in our country, it's what they do. How about 9/11? You know, we've been at war since 01 because of the bombing of the World Trade Centers. Who benefits from that? Follow the money. Who benefits from that? We lose our brightest and our most patriotic, you know, young men and women, and they're taken out of our gene pool, you might say, and the enemy makes money off of it.
But the position in the mainstream media is basically anything opposite of what President Trump is doing or saying is their position, period. So had he had bombed them, then they would say, oh, well, how could he dare, you know. But it's all mind games. It's all head games. And bottom line was the enemy was thwarted again because of God's grace, mercy, and compassion. Because of the saints that continue to pray for the country, continue to pray for our president and for his protection. Because
Amen.
In the past, he'd have been taken out a long time ago. The fact that the Secret Service isn't the one that's protecting him, it's the special forces, you know, that can't be bribed, that can't be intimidated, that can't be I don't know what the word is, but basically where they have dirt on you and you know, use that against you to
blackmail. Yeah,
blackmail. Yeah, that's
right.
What I'm looking for. Yeah, they can't blackmail them into doing their dirty work for them. And the beauty of the whole thing is the fact that they're trying everything. They pulled out all the stops. They pulled out the physical stops. They pulled out their spiritual stops, as far as their Satanism and their witchcraft and demonic activity. And all of the things that worked in the past don't work anymore. And,
right.
And a big part of that, whether you believe it or not, was the fact that Melania Trump, number one, she publicly said the Lord's Prayer. Number two, she had enough wisdom to have the entire White House swept and anointed, and anything that was of a false religion or demonic nature removed from that house, from the White House. And I believe that's made a huge difference in the fact that, think about it, if you're in a place and you spend most of your time in that building and you're surrounded by all of these demonic idols and all of this witchcraft and sorcery and spells and things like that, how it would affect your decisions, and now all of those things have been removed. Now, don't get me wrong, he's far from a saint, and there's things every
Amen.
Day that I question, you know, what's going on, but he's a warrior, and God's using him just for that purpose, to be a warrior. I mean, the fact that he's overturned most of what the Obama nation has done, even though, sadly, the Obama nation's agenda is still moving forward in states like we witnessed there in Oregon and in other liberal states.
Colorado.
Washington State. And, yeah, exactly. Well, because it's, yeah. But anyways, but higher ed, too. You know, I'm in higher ed, and I can see that the same agenda is still being pushed through the higher ed, the social justice crap and all this other. And you know, now it's becoming mandatory if you're in management that you have to take these diversity classes and these social justice classes and all this other stuff. And it's all by design. So, you know, we're winning the battle on the national front, I believe, in a lot of ways, but it becomes more and more critically important that we get involved in the lower levels of government as well.
Amen.
I don't know if you saw this. Basically, in Iowa, did you see this one, Jason? In Ames, Iowa, which I think Ames is like an Amish kind of community, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this 30-year-old, Adolfo Martinez, which is interesting in itself, stole a flag from a church in Ames, Iowa, and set it on fire in front of a gay bar, which originally they had charged him with disturbing the peace and burning without a permit or something like that. Well, Jessica Reynolds, the county attorney, decided that they were going to charge that as a hate crime. But then on the other hand, there was a, they don't give you many details, but a protester in Cleveland that was awarded $225,000 for burning a U.S. flag. Republican convention. So, I mean, this is the time, you know, that you have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You know, what's the point in tipping your cards to burn a flag? I think we need to be cautious about before we reveal, you know, what our true motives are, basically, and save those kind of things for something that may threaten our family or our livelihood or something like that. But you can just see the double standard of a law that's going on in the country. One thing that was concerning, I didn't realize that they had actually erected that statue of Satan there in Arkansas, right in front of the Capitol. Apparently, I don't know if I imagine the Ten Commandments are still there, and that's how they got to put that statue there. But boy, that's an abomination. We need to that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. Well, and it's a matter of the heart. The people's heart has to change. We pray for repentance. We pray for a revival to come. Because it's the people have to realize that it's, you know, the sin that's in the land, the sin that's in their life, and change. Our enemy has made it not that we need any help to sin, but they've made it very comfortable, and got it to where it's just the way of life for so many in this country, and they have to be told about it. They have to be prayed for, and they have to make that choice. Like was said earlier, choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? We are seeing weather changes. We're seeing the onset of a famine. It's not unlike the time that Psalms 83 talks about, to where all the nations have gathered against us, is what David said. They all have. They were all coming against us, and we see that on a almost on a national front, like you said, was said earlier. You know, the other nations, get their oil from Iran, and then we're trying to go to war with them, and it's everybody against us. Anyway, well, guys, we're about out of time. I'm going to invite you to come to church tomorrow. You can do that right at your computer at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and join us there, and we hope that you'll do that. We want to thank you for joining in. Men, thanks for taking time this morning. And Tim, hope you get dried out a little bit out there. We're sure thankful for the rain that we get. And again, Remnant, join us. Come to church with us tomorrow. We have a timeless pulpit message for you. We'll have a live message. You heard John mention that. I'm looking forward to that. We'll give you the opportunity to partake of communion together with like-minded Christians, even if it is over the internet, and give praise and honor to our Heavenly Father. So hopefully we'll see you there. Room.
rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.